This is Joanna Schrader reporting for DomesticFuel.com, and I am with Bob Dineen, who is the president and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Group. Bob, how are you?
I am great.
Well, Bob, much impressed with your panel presentation this morning. You had some very insightful comments. The big issue was some of the policy challenges that the ethanol industry is seeing in D.C., and you were very clear in saying 26 years ago we were fighting a battle, and we're still fighting a battle, and 26 years from now we will be. What are some of the current issues right now in front of you that you're really trying to fight and get legislators and consumers aware about?
Well, a lot of the issues that we face are issues that we have faced for decades. You know, food versus fuel, nothing new. I've been hearing it for a long time. Energy balance, nothing new. Been hearing it for a long time. The one new twist that you have on the Hill is that the RFS itself is an anachronism today because we're producing more oil domestically. We have found this nirvana in North Dakota where we get all these tight oil supplies. And so because we're getting all this oil from North Dakota, we should stop producing ethanol from South Dakota. Well, I don't really think so. And you know, members of Congress are interested in our arguments about the impact on the consumer, because all that North Dakota oil isn't helping to lower the price of oil, because those facilities, that production is not going to pencil out at $90 a barrel. You need a high oil price to encourage those investments to continue. So the only relief that consumers are going to have is if we continue to add supply with domestic renewable fuels that pencil out a lot lower than that.
So, Bob, why is it now that the oil companies have finally attacked ethanol in terms of market availability and are really... You know, the RFS is in place. They have to blend it. But why are they fighting so hard not to blend it, not to blend ethanol, E15, E85?
Well, I think there are two reasons. One, they didn't anticipate that gasoline demand would be going down right now. They thought it would continue to go up. So at the time that gasoline demand is going down, and oil production domestically is going up, they feel caught and they're under even more pressure. But the real reason, I believe, is that they look out and they see the future as we see it. They see more biofuels being produced from new technologies and new feedstocks. And gosh darn it, they didn't like the fact that grain ethanol, those petulant farmers from the Midwest, were able to get a beachhead with 10% ethanol and took 10% of their barrel. But they are darn certain they're not going to give up the hedgerows and let us march forward with cellulosic ethanol. And so they've got to stop this program now. They have to not allow one drop more than 10% ethanol, because they know if you have E15, if you have E20, if you have E85, you now have a market for cellulosic ethanol, and they can't let that happen. So, I mean, that's a good part of the reason why you see the ferocity of the battle that's going on today.
Now, you know, you're doing great work in D.C. You've done a lot of work in Florida and around the country, but from a consumer perspective, do you feel that the consumers are understanding at all that how much money ethanol saves them at the pump, and what would happen if ethanol disappeared? Or on the flip side, how much more they could save if we could blend more ethanol?
Well, I think some consumers understand it. Anybody in the Midwest that's driving around and seeing an E85 pump that is 70 cents, 80 cents, or a dollar below the price of gasoline, you know, they suddenly get it. Oh, yeah, ethanol is less expensive than gasoline. If it's helping on E85, it's going to be helping on E10 and E15 as well. But by and large, consumers in other parts of the country that aren't seeing it posted that way don't necessarily get it. And the oil companies are continuing to, you know, make the case that ethanol is increasing the price of gasoline. The RFA last year had a big campaign in Washington, because we have to focus on public policymakers, that was educating folks on how significantly ethanol reduces the price of gasoline. And I think it had an impact. But we need to do more of that.
Farm bill. You know, there's two different farm bills. We have the Senate version, we have the House version. It's my understanding the Senate version is much more supportive of renewable energy and agriculture, surprisingly, than the House version. What do we need to see, Bob, in terms of a farm bill?
Well, we need to see, first of all, farm bill passed, and we need to see the Senate version of the energy title enacted. Hopefully that will happen in conference. It is two very different bills. The Senate has mandatory funding for blender pumps, for the REAP program for biorefinery assistance, and it continues the very aggressive programs that USDA has operated successfully for the past 10 years. The House not only doesn't have that mandatory funding, they specifically have language in there that says, USDA, you can't spend any money on biofuels, certainly nothing on blender pumps. Well, that's taking us a step backwards. Now, it's not a real surprise that the House of Representatives is looking at the Farm Bill in that way, because these are largely people living in the cities, because the House of Representatives is dominated by urban dwellers that thinks their food comes from the Safeway. And they've never understood farmers. They've never understood rural America. They've certainly never understood ethanol. So hopefully, once these bills get to conference, if they get to conference, we'll be able to prevail and we'll have a bill on the president's desk that makes sense.
So, Bob, what's your next step? I mean, you have all these things on your plate. What's the most immediate for RFA in the next 30, 60, 90 days?
Well, you know, we're continuing to fight the RFS battles. We will respond to the Energy and Commerce and their requests for white paper responses to various questions. We're going to be on the Hill making the case for E15. We'll be all over the place. Actually, a good part of our focus this summer is going to be on international trade. I had one staffer in Japan last month. Today I've got somebody in Central America in Panama. And later this month I'm going to Brazil. And the message that we are bringing to folks is we need to build the biofuels market across the globe. We need to be making sure that we are not cannibalizing each other's markets, but that we are building markets for everybody. And certainly we think we can do that.
Great. Thanks, Bob. And let's check in after you get back from Brazil.
Absolutely.